Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Do remember, you can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, today is Valentine's Day, and if you're married, or you're engaged, or you're just dating, you forget this holiday at your own peril. And while there is precious little agreement among historians regarding the precise origin of this holiday, it's widely acknowledged as a day for love and devotion and, of course, romance. One Orthodox scholar, a scholar by the name of Alexandros Kyrou, puts it this way. He says that as in other matters of reverence and faith, the Orthodox Church's veneration of Saint Valentine remains immutable. Secularization in the West accounts in large part for the papacy's move to discard the memory of Saint Valentine's martyrdom in the face of commerce and frivolity. But Orthodoxy still honors Saint Valentine as the presbyter from Rome. Why? Because he was martyred. And as for all its saints, the Orthodox Church honors Saint Valentine as a model of the very life of Christ. And so for Orthodox Christians, Saint Valentine's Day is most fully understood as a celebration of romantic love and as well of God's love. Indeed, Valentine, he was willing to sacrifice his life not just for Eros, but in order to sanctify and make whole the union of young couples through the blessing of God's love, demonstrating our love for God and reaching our fulfillment in Christ through our relationships with our spouses and families and communities, is a way of life that is at the heart of Orthodoxy. By living a life in emulation of Christ, Saint Valentine shared this fundamental truth of Orthodox Christianity with the entire world, one that is more beautiful and lasts longer than the flowers and cards that we give on Saint Valentine's Day. Why? Because this is an eternal verity. The traditional association of Saint Valentine's Day with courtship, well, is perhaps connected with certain customs of the pagan festival that is known as Lupercalia. And if this is indeed so, this would be very much like Christmas, in that it's another example of Christians who rightly usurp a pagan holiday and then Christianize this holiday for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I was on the Orthodox Christian Network just before I came into the studio, and I saw an interesting article on this very, very fine network. It was an article titled, "No One is Likely to Forget St. Valentine's Day." And the article says in part that there's one saint's day no one is likely to forget. And of course, it is referring to St. Valentine's Day. And then it asks this question, how much do you really know about the saint behind the day? And if you're like most of us, the answer is not very much. And to make things worse, most of what we think we know turns out to be absolutely wrong. And then they give a little quiz, a short quiz, that asks a number of questions, the first of which is, what day is St. Valentine's Day? Do you know? Well, if you passed the quiz, you would say on the Orthodox calendar, this saint, St. Valentine, is commemorated on either April 24, July 6, or July 30. In the Catholic Church, well, of course, February 14. Second question is a true or false question. The question is, there's only one St. Valentine, true or false? Well, this is false, because there are two Orthodox saints named Valentine, and both were martyred in the 3rd century of the Christian Church. The next question, again a true or false question, is, St. Valentine is the patron saint of lovers. Well, this happens to be true. True in the Catholic understanding, at least. And then the final question, true or false as well, St. Valentine is held to be a saint in both the Catholic and Orthodox traditions. And again, in the Orthodox tradition, this is absolutely true. In the Catholic tradition, well, it's mostly sort of true, because of all the ambiguous and conflicting information about St. Valentine, the Catholics ended up removing St. Valentine from their liturgical calendar, and that was done back in 1969. He can still be called a saint and locally venerated, but the removal is a testimony to all the confusion that surrounds this particular saint. So how did it come about that St. Valentine's is associated with romantic love? Well, there are a couple of possibilities. The first has to do with the legends that cropped up about this saint. For instance, the legend that he had performed marriages in secret when the emperor was forbidding this. And the second is the idea that St. Valentine restored the sight of his jailer's blind daughter, and that on the day of his martyrdom, he sent a card to the daughter that was signed, "From your Valentine." It might have given Christians the idea of sending similar cards on February 14, and maybe that's where the romantic connection began. I think as I look at this particular quiz, I think of the fact that one thing that seems to be obscured, at least in the thoughts of so many people today, is the martyrdom of the saints. The fact that saints like St. Valentine, and I should say that in the plural, were willing to give up their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I suppose today, even as we're involved in frivolity and, of course, the commemoration of true love with our spouses and loved ones, we should never forget that the martyrs were willing to sacrifice everything because of their love for someone far greater than any mere human being, their love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who in the great exchange came down from heaven and emptied himself so that we might be filled. As I write about in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, his kenosis is our theosis. His emptying becomes our filling. And so those martyrs recognize that the paltry benefits of our short life are only accentuated if those lives are lived for Christ, and if in our death we can be absolutely certain that as we stand before Jesus Christ, we might well yet hear those words that we all long to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll give you many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Coming to the station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Stay tuned.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. truthmatters.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Ben in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
So the question that I have has to do with the idea of healing. And I know there's no formula for healing, but I know that there's a thread, like the mainstream thread would be we pray for the Lord to heal somebody. But then there's another thread of thinking that goes, and teaching, that's teaching a lot of our young adults and youth, okay, you need to take authority and say, command, leg be healed, or like, get up and walk. And the question is, am I uncomfortable with that just because of the excess of some of the hyper-charismatics, or is there actually a biblical argument? Because there are people in our church that are like, you've got to tell these youth, they got to stop commanding healing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, look, we cannot command God, and we do recognize that we live in a cursed creation. It is oftentimes in the cauldron of affliction and persecution that we are poured out in new and better fashion. And so sometimes we ought to almost wish for that melting pot if our true desire is to be conformed more unto the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, which is really where we find our hope. As long as we're in this world, we're going to have suffering and tribulation. But there's going to be a new order of things, and John talks about it on the Isle of Patmos, in which there's no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. In the meantime, we all get sick, and eventually we all die. I was watching with one of my kids, Gleason, which is the story of a guy who played for the New Orleans Saints, and then he developed ALS, but used the few years he had from the time of the diagnosis to the time that the movie ended, he used that time to do something very constructive with his life. Now, the suffering and the agony never leave as long as we're in this world, but we're looking forward to the hope of glory. Again, a new order of things in which there is no more sorrow. Now, in the meantime, can God supernaturally heal us? Yes, but that's the human condition. I mean, we all get sick. As much as we'd like to hope that we're above it all, we all get sick and eventually we all die. And there are no magic formulas. In fact, the reason I brought up, by the way, this movie Gleason is in the middle of it, even though neither he and his wife seem to have an orthodox view of Christianity, although I don't know all the details, but watching the movie, they went to a faith healer, hoping that the faith healer would be the solution. And then you can hear the wife as she's watching all of this happen. She's just saying, this is BS. Now, she said it in a more graphic fashion, and quite frankly, it was very disillusioning to their faith. Again, our faith is not in our own faith, whether we can conjure up words of faith by which we can have extraordinary things happen. Our faith is in our God, and we know that nothing reaches us but that it passes through the filter of his love.
Okay.
I've written a whole chapter on this, by the way, in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, on the whole health and wealth gospel and its ramifications, because a lot of people think that the reason that they're still sick is because they don't have enough faith. And so if they get sick and they have problems, or if their child dies, well, it's because they spoke words of fear instead of words of faith. And that's simply a faulty view, both theologically and practically.
Right. I guess my question isn't so much about whether it's faith that heals us, but so much as, do you think it is wrong for people to say, leg, be healed?
Well, I think that we might pray earnestly on our knees and ask other people to pray for us as we go through the difficulties of life. But sometimes God brings those difficulties into our lives so that we come to a true valuation of things, as I said earlier, and are poured out in new and better fashion.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Hey, you got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Mike in Oklahoma. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is, there's a lot of false teaching on the radio and TV. And there's a lot of people who are following these false teachings. Will they be accepted or denied into heaven?
Well, I think that ultimately is the province of the Holy Spirit. there are people who are genuinely seeking after the Lord, and their heart is to know the truth and to live by the truth. Their predisposition is to be seekers of truth in faith and practice. And of course, that always comes by being Berean, meaning that you test what is being said in light of Scripture, and you hold fast to that which is good. There are, of course, many secondary issues. We can debate them vigorously. We ultimately don't have to divide over them. So I think what's important is that Christians become rooted and grounded in the essentials of the historic Christian faith, and then they can discern wheat from chaff and heat from light.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for taking my call.
You got it. And this does not in any way negate the significance of false teachers. I think of what the Apostle Paul said, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you, and they will not spare the flock. Even from among your own numbers, men are going to arise. They're going to distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each one of you night and day with tears. So we live in a post-truth culture. Truth matters. And there are many people who are wolves in sheep's clothing within the body of Christ, and we ought to be aware of them. But the best antidote is to know the truth. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Patrick next. He's in South Carolina. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Hank. I'm new with the Holy Spirit. I know that there's one God, the Creator, Christ, Jesus Christ, the Lord, and then the Spirit that's in me. And I know that the Spirit in me is alive. It's just, I know for a fact.
Is a person.
Yes. It's not guiding me, and
yes.
It's
he
wonderful.
Is. Yes.
My
yes.
Whole thought process has changed. My question is, with my past, I know that there is evil believers, the people that believe in evil. Do they have some type of spirit that they can go to and ask questions like I talk to my Holy Spirit?
Well,
does that make any sense?
Yes, it does, and it's a really good question. And I think that there are two things going on in the world. One is people are becoming more and more ingrained in the kingdom of darkness. On the other side, people are becoming more and more inculcated into the kingdom of light. When you partake of the graces of God, when you have the Holy Spirit within you, and you are in fellowship with a community of believers, and you're partaking of the means of grace, then you are being deified. You are a partaker of the divine nature, to use the biblical language. So you are being filled with Christ. You are being filled with the Spirit. You are being filled with God. Remember, we believe in one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. And whether it is the Father working redemptively within us or the Son or the Holy Spirit, we do not know. We know that God is working redemptively within us. But your point in the prologue to the question is well taken. The same thing is true with respect to the Prince of Darkness. As you give yourself over more and more to the deeds of wickedness, you become more and more, as it were, filled with the evil that is the resultant direct consequence of that evil. So, yeah, you got a prince of darkness and you have a prince of light. Now, they're not, you know, like the yin and the yang or opposite sides of the force, because the prince of darkness is a created being. The prince of light is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence and created Satan. Now, he didn't create Satan as an evil being. He created Satan as an angel of light who fell because he wanted worship for himself rather than to do what he had been created for, and that is to give glory and worship to God.
That makes a lot of sense. And I tell you, I've prayed for Satan. Whether that's right or wrong, I have no idea. But just so recent, me being in the Spirit, it's everything like Romans 8, 28, 29, and 30, where if you're in the Spirit, from what I understand, everything, good or bad, is made for my benefit.
Yeah, I think that the qualification is often missed. You didn't miss it, but a lot of people do. All things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to His purposes. And you would fall into that category as someone who has submitted his life to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Hank, you're the best. Continue with your race and finish it, my friend.
Thank you. You as well. I'm glad you're growing. Nice talking to you. Thanks for tuning in. Happy Valentine's Day. See you next time with more.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.